Before we begin, would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Our great God and Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for all the many rich and wonderful blessings you pour out upon us. Father, we thank you for the technology that we have that will enable us to be able to watch a live stream to share your word with the world that they might hear it. And Father, we pray that you will be with us as we go through this study. Help us to seek to honor you, to be the kind of servant you want us to be. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be taking a look at Barnabas this morning. And I want to begin by saying the generosity of Christians is truly a humbling thing to behold. I have seen members of the church respond to catastrophes with great compassion, selflessness, and generosity. I remember several years ago after Hurricane Harvey hit the Houston area, I had brothers and sisters in Christ constantly come up to me because I knew Christians in the area, I knew churches in the area, and they had just one question: how can I help? We've seen our brothers load up boats and go to disaster-affected areas simply to pull out strangers, total strangers, out of the wreckage caused by the floodwaters. During this pandemic, I've seen Christians devote countless hours to research, to create masks, and to gather appropriate relief supplies for the people hit by the virus. I know Christians who took time off work to be a support network for others who could not get out to get groceries or other necessities because they had been infected and had to be in quarantine. You know, I've heard people say that Satan is using this pandemic to sow discouragement and keep Christians from doing what they're supposed to keep Christians from engaging in personal work. I've heard people say that you can't do personal work during this time because, well, COVID. And to be sure, we are in a tough time. But today, I want to help us see the incredible good being accomplished and remind us that not even a pandemic can stop us from living out the gospel. Because you see, our ability to serve God has never been dependent upon our external circumstances, but upon our desire to serve the Almighty King. In Acts chapter 4, we see an incredible moment in the history of the church. We read in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37, it says, "And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. But there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet. And they would be distributed to each as any had need." We'll stop there for just a moment. But you see, at the time, there were thousands of Jews who had traveled to Jerusalem to observe the Passover and stay a few more weeks to observe Pentecost, and then they planned to return home. And so they planned their trips around being there for Passover and staying through Pentecost. But on the day of Pentecost, as we know in Acts chapter 2, everything changed. These Jews heard the gospel preached by Peter and the rest of the apostles, and it changed their lives. It created a new normal. And so naturally, they wanted to stay in Jerusalem to learn more. And if you've ever planned a long trip, you know that unexpected delays and expenses can have serious consequences. So the congregation here, being of one heart and soul, shared what they had with their brothers and sisters in Christ so they could stay in Jerusalem to learn more about Jesus and how to follow after him. And this is where we're introduced to a man from Cyprus, a Levite named Joseph. In Acts chapter 4, verses 36 through 37, we read, "Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." You see, Joseph became concerned with his fellow Christians' well-being. So he sold some land that he owned and brought the profit to the apostles so they could distribute it to those who had need. And so from this point forward, we read about Joseph only by the name the apostles gave to him, Barnabas. Joseph was the kind of man that was known for lifting others up in service to Christ, which is why the apostles gave him the name that means son of encouragement. And I put up on the screen the definition of encourage: to give support, confidence, or hope to someone. And I can't think of a better description for Barnabas than that. Barnabas was someone who gave support and gave confidence and hope to those around him. And what a name to be given. Son of encouragement would be an incredibly humbling name to try to live up to. Joseph saw a need to be filled, looked at the resources at his disposal, and worked to meet that need. And this is our first point to remember. When we face challenges in our lives, our question will never be, "Will I serve God?" but rather, "How does God want me to serve him?" We look at the resources at our disposal, we look at our situation, and we use those resources at our disposal, and we use them to serve God, to encourage others. And if all you feel you can do to encourage a brother or sister in Christ is to fold a piece of paper in half, draw a picture on it, and write a note inside, do it. I guarantee you, I know it will be received well, and the person you send it to will be greatly encouraged. And you know what? In this time of COVID, those little gestures, we say they're little, but they're really not, they mean an incredible source of encouragement to those who are struggling. Encouragement is built upon the idea that you are carefully considering another person and want to lift them up. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, "Let us hold fast." You see that? Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. That's that support. "For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider." The idea of considering is giving thought. Let us give thought how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. If you know someone in your life needs to come to Christ, but you can't sit with them face to face to teach them, you can still share a book or a correspondence course with them. We have Zoom. We have FaceTime. You see, so many times people try to do personal work by saying, "Oh, I hope there's some stranger that I can teach the gospel to." But that's not what we see personal work being. It's exercising the influence that we have over the people in our own lives. I guarantee you know someone who needs to come to the gospel that you're friends with. And why not take the time to say, hey, let's sit down over a Zoom call. So if we can't get together face to face, let's sit down over a Zoom call and just talk. Or, here, let me write you a letter. I know, writing letters seems like the way of the dinosaur, but there's nothing like receiving a handwritten letter in the mail. If you need a correspondence course, I'd be happy to share one. Need a book? I know Sister Barbara has one to recommend. After all, she was given a book. And it changed her life. She, upon studying it, she realized she needed to obey the gospel. And what an encouraging thing. You see, the pandemic hasn't stopped personal work. If we want to be like Barnabas, we ask the simple question, how does God want me to serve him? The next time we see the Son of Encouragement is in Acts chapter 9. Luke records for us there in Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 28. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. These brethren didn't believe that Saul had obeyed the gospel. When Saul came to Jerusalem, he was trying to join the church there, to work with them. And they didn't believe that he was a disciple. Verse 27, here's where we see Barnabas. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. Stop there for just a moment. Saul, who had formerly persecuted followers of Christ, was trying to join the brethren in Jerusalem, but they were afraid of Saul and didn't believe Saul had obeyed the gospel. But Barnabas stepped up and brought Saul to the apostles and told them of how Saul had come face to face with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and from then on had been boldly preaching in Jesus' name. As a result of this, we read in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up, and going on in the fear the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. Barnabas, the Son of Encouragement, directly contributed to the growth of the church, not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the region. We should never underestimate the impact of being an encourager. And this brings us to our second point. Sometimes, being an encourager means standing up for someone else. Barnabas knew the truth about Saul and knew how Saul had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus, and Barnabas demonstrated courage and compassion by standing up for Saul. There are plenty of ways for us to be like Barnabas when he stood by Saul, who became Paul. We can demonstrate courage by speaking up for someone when others begin to speak unkind words about them. We can demonstrate compassion by reaching out to those who are alone. You know, in this time of politics and coronavirus, there's a lot of misinformation going around. There's a lot of falsehoods floating around. We can be courageous just by speaking the truth and speaking it in love. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 15, when talking about being compassionate and reaching out to those who are alone, he tells us, therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Reach out to those who are struggling, he tells us, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. The Hebrew writer tells us, pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. You see, sometimes strengthening others, giving them support, giving them confidence, and giving them hope requires courage and compassion. When someone is lost in the pit of despair, coming in and saying, I know things look bleak right now, but I want you to know I'm here for you, that God is here for you, that things are going to get better. God has promised us greater, that we have to be faithful. Encouragers, people who want to be like Barnabas. I also want you to note here, people that want to be like Barnabas, encouragers, they are not weak people. The Hebrew writer shows us they are the kind of people who work to make sure no one comes short of the grace of God. They fight off bitterness and help others grow in the Lord. To be like Barnabas, we must demonstrate courage and compassion in building up those around us. Then, when the gospel spread to Antioch in Acts chapter 11, the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas to help them. And help them he did. In Acts chapter 11, we read about how Barnabas, a man, by the way, Luke describes as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, encouraged all of the disciples there, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Read with me there in Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26, it says, so then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them with all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The church at Jerusalem trusted Barnabas to go to these new brethren and help them remain true to the Lord. Barnabas encouraged these brethren in the truth. As a result of this, we're told considerable numbers are brought to the Lord. Barnabas also brought Saul to Antioch, and together they helped the church grow. And it's in Antioch the disciples of the Christ were first called Christians. It was at this point people could find no better description of disciples of Jesus than to call them Christians. Jesus tells us that by this men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And I have no doubt people could see the love that Barnabas had for the Lord and for his brothers and sisters in Christ. And this brings us to our third point to remember. You see, Barnabas encouraged the brethren to remain true to the Lord. If we want to be like Barnabas, if we want to be a true son of encouragement, we're going to work to help people remain true to the Lord. We're going to point them to the Word of God. In other words, Barnabas encouraged faithfulness. But I want to show what Luke highlighted for us at this point. In verse 24, Luke directly ties Barnabas's encouragement to remain faithful. He ties it to Barnabas's own character as a disciple. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith, to encourage others to be faithful. We must be faithful. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35, the second half of verse 34, he says, "For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil." Very, very simply, if we don't know the word of Christ, how are we going to encourage others to be faithful? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ." You want to grow in your faith? Grow in your knowledge of Jesus' word. You cannot be a true encourager if you're not faithful. You can't give support if you don't have the strength. We cannot encourage others to remain true to the Lord if we don't know what His will is. If we wish to help others draw near to the Lord, we must abide in the teachings of Jesus. And Jesus tells us this in John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. There we read Jesus saying, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." If we want to be like Barnabas, we must be good men and women, bearing fruit, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, and being full of faith. We, too, can encourage people to remain true to the Lord and bring people to Christ. And so in this time of coronavirus, when we're talking about the challenges that we face and encouraging others to faithfulness, one of the things that we need to make sure that we're giving a special extra effort to doing is growing in our knowledge of Jesus. You know, for many people, there's more time to read. There's more time to study God's word. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it and read. Read with others. Study the word of God together. You know, there are plenty of people who are feeling discouraged, who are feeling alone. And just by taking the time to sit down to read with them, whether it be over Zoom or 6 feet apart, reading together can help them to study God's word, to help them know His will, and encourage them. When we look at Barnabas and we see some of these passages and we see how he helps the church to grow and how he's called the son of encouragement, it's an incredible testimony. But you see, Barnabas wasn't done. In Acts chapter 13, we see Barnabas and Saul chosen by the Holy Spirit to go and preach the gospel. And together, they began several churches and help them to and encourage many people to obey the gospel. In Acts chapter 15, Barnabas and Saul, now Paul, worked together to defend the gospel from false teachers. And they were chosen by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem to carry letters defending the truth to the churches throughout Asia Minor. And throughout his life, Barnabas's character of faithfulness, of courage, of compassion, and of thoughtfulness showed through in everything he did. In Acts chapter 15, the apostles and elders had this to say of Barnabas and Saul: "Since we have heard that some of our number, to whom we gave no instruction, have disturbed you with their words, unsettling your souls, it seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul." Men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that description of Barnabas and Paul. Beloved, encourager, worker for the Lord. I think those are all things each of us can and should strive to be. So here's your challenge. Be like Barnabas. Look for some small way you can encourage those around you. Send an encouraging text. You know, how long does it take to pull up a contact in your phone and say, "Hey, thinking about you. How you doing?" Write an uplifting note to someone you see is struggling. Give a gift to someone you think might be needing some encouragement. Invite someone to a Bible study. Use the resources at your disposal to be a son of encouragement. Be courageous and compassionate. Encourage people to remain faithful to the Lord. You see, Barnabas didn't do just one nice thing, though. He kept encouraging people, and more importantly, he shared the gospel with people. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 read, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." You see, it's in the church that we're going to find our greatest encouragement in serving Christ. It's through sharing the gospel we're going to truly encourage and love people. And in days like this, we can all use encouragement. So be like Barnabas. And if you're struggling to follow Christ, we can help you. If you have sin that you need to work through, guess what? We can walk beside you. The church is there to walk beside you, to check in on you, and encourage you. And maybe perhaps today you realize you haven't been following Christ at all. Maybe you need to put Christ on the waters of baptism and having your sins washed away so that you can begin to walk with Christ as a disciple, as a Christian. We'd be happy to meet you down at the building to help you put Christ on in the waters of baptism. We would love to help you give your life to God. I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us this morning through Facebook, through YouTube. I know that, again, it's difficult when we plan to be together to worship in person and then the weather changes because we can't meet outside. But you know what? We can still take advantage of the time to serve God, to study His Word, to draw closer together. Before we go, I ask that you'll pray with me and then I'll let you go. Our great and almighty God and Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the example of men like Barnabas, who was a son of encouragement. Help us, Lord, to be inspired by that example, to work to be more like him as he imitated Christ. Help us to also be more like your son, Jesus. Father, we pray that you will help us to use the things at our disposal in service to you. Help us to draw closer to you every day. Father, help us to be courageous and compassionate in sharing your gospel that others might be brought to you. And Father, we pray that you'll be with us and you'll help us, Lord, to encourage others to remain faithful to you and help us to grow in our faithfulness. Father, we pray that you be with those who have been affected by this virus. Help us to be an encouragement, to be a support to them. And Father, we pray that you will help this pass through our land quickly. that you will help us to be able to return to serving you in the way that you want us to, that you help us to grow in all these things as servants of you. Father, we pray that you be with the elders who are watching over the Pleasant Plains Church of Christ. Help us to encourage them, and Father, we pray that you bless them. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.